See, when we are doing what God wants us to do, when we're living the way that we are supposed to be living and walking the way we're supposed to be walking, there's going to be a battle that happens. We're going to be in a battle because the flesh and the spirit should be at odds with one another. We realize that we as believers are going to be at odds with this world and with the devil himself. We understand that what we are in, we're in a spiritual battle that we're facing. And that's what Paul wants the church of Ephesus to hear, and that's what we need to hear. Last week, we started this, and we looked at the whole idea there in verse number 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we talked about last week, the battle win, who we're facing. We also said this, we're going to start looking at the armory that we need to put on. We're going to be looking at the things we need to put on our lives that we can have victory in the spiritual battle that we're facing. Now, each of these areas we're going to look at this week and the next several weeks are areas that every believer knows what it is. We know what we're supposed to be putting on. We know what we're supposed to be doing. But we gave the illustration last week, if you recall, of this idea of usually what the husband knows that there's a certain task or job that needs to be done. And they walk by it and say, oh, I'm going to get to that. Brother Rich helps us with that. I'm going to get to that. And we keep walking by and we never do what needs to be done. We forget about it. Then we're reminded and then we don't do it. The armor of God is something we need to be doing daily in our lives. And we know we're supposed to be putting it on. We know we're supposed to be doing these. But many times as believers, we go out into the battle not ready for the war that we're facing. If you're able to, please stand with me and read from Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick up in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we ask as we look at your word this morning, you would once again illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, that we would see what we need to glean and apply to our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. It is interesting, if you look at verse 13 and verse 14, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that we will withstand the evil days, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. This idea of standing is repeated four times in a short amount of times. Because he knew either you're going to stand or you're going to crumble. You're going to stand or crumble. And this morning we're going to look at how we stand and not crumble. The key idea that he gives to put on in these verses is the base of everything else that comes into place. Because we have to understand this area that he addresses in our lives. We're going to either stand or crumble. Now, many of you understand there are ways to make things stand up. There are other ways that we think might work, but doesn't. How many of your favorite tool is duct tape? How many love duct tape? All right, duct tape is your go-to for everything. How many ever bought dollar store duct tape before? Did you know there's a difference between dollar store duct tape and real duct tape? How many of you tried to put something together with dollar store duct tape and it did not work? It came crumbling down. How many have ever broke something of your wife's, Steve Burke? And you try to hide it from her, and you even try to glue it or tape it or put it together, but it did not hold up. It fell apart. It crumbled. There are many times in our lives as believers that we try to have victory. We try to walk worthy of our vocation. We try to handle the battle that we're facing, but we're using dollar store duct tape. All right? We're doing it our way. We're doing it the way we should be doing. And we try to put on certain things that we think is going to help us. We think it's going to be. There's no replacement for the armor of God. It says put on the whole armor of God. What we do in our churches today is we try to, and as believers, individual believers, we try to put on certain things that we think are going to prepare us and help us in the battle we're facing. No, there's no replacement for God's way of doing it. There's no replacement for putting on the whole armor of God. Look with me as we look at this morning. Put on the whole armor of God that we will withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. We live in an evil day. Paul lived in an evil day. Paul lived in a time where believers were persecuted. We also know that Paul himself persecuted believers till he was on the road to Damascus and God saved him and changed him. It was an evil, wicked time. We are living in a very wicked time in our day and age. We're looking in a time, not just this world, but the battle. And we understand in the last days what is going to be taking place. And I believe no man knows the day, no man knows the time. We understand that, but I believe we're living in the latter of the last days. I believe there's the signs. I believe there's pictures all around us, things around us, the time that we're living in. And the Bible says in the last days, in those times, we're going to have those that want their ears tickled. We're going to have all this going on. People are going to call good evil and evil. They're going to change everything up. All that's going to be changed, all that's going to be done. And I tell you, evil's now good in our day and age, and the wickedness we're living in. We got to stand. We got to stand as believers. That word stands means be steadfast. The Bible tells us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to continue, and we need to be that lighthouse. We need to be that testimony. We need to be those things in our day. Well, how do we stand? First, it says this. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Loins girt about with truth. The standard garment of that day for a soldier was a tunic. Basically, it was a cloth that had holes in it that you put your arms on, you put your head on, and you put on. It was loose fitting. And that was the standard, even in the clothing. They had robes, and it was that thing. It was a loose fitting thing. But what they would have to do, if they were going to go into battle, they couldn't go into battle just with a tunic on them. They couldn't just go in the battle that way, because if they go in the battle, it would give the enemy advantage. And what they would have to do is they would have to gird themselves up and tighten up their clothing so there was no loose fabric, no loose clothing to get in the way of what they were supposed to accomplish to have victory in the battle that they were facing. And so they would take this belt, if you will, it's a loose, they would take this belt, a leather belt, and that gird about means fastens one belt. That's what the literal wording means. And they would take it and they would tuck up things and they would put it in place, tighten it, and take this belt and cinch it around them to hold things in the proper place. Now, some of you have seen old cartoons and you've seen old comedy type routines and those things where individuals would have this loose-fitting type of stuff on, and their belt would come loose, and they would fall, everything would fall, and all the things were there. And this is the idea, is they would have to gird themselves up. They would have to tighten themselves up so they could go into battle. Now here we are told that these individuals in the church of Ephesus need to gird themselves, have your loins girt about with truth. What is this truth? What is this talking about? It talks about this truth that God gives, and understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. We need to gird ourselves with the word of God. We must gird ourselves and put ourselves in that place where we are relying upon the truth of God and God's word, not giving way to the lies of this world and the teachings of this world. We need to gird ourselves. We need to tighten up. We need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to know the word of God. Go to 2 Timothy 3 for a moment. And look at verse 16. And verse 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. For reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible tells us that we need to understand that we are in a war. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. So no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The gird with truth understands that we must know the truth. This idea of entangling ourselves with the fears of this world. You see, to be a good soldier, to have victory as a soldier, to be able to go into the battle that we're facing, to be able to have victorious and put our loins girded about with truth, we must not get entangled with the fears and the lies and the teachings of this world. What happens to many believers today is this. We know the truth, but we don't listen to the truth. We listen to another voice that it's in this world today. And then when we listen to the other voices in this world today, we aren't girding ourselves up. We're not tightening our things up. We are a novice, if you will, when it comes to the truth and the scriptures of the Word of God. We have allowed cults, false religions, other spirits to get in. We have allowed our heart, we have allowed other things to get in and not allow us to be girded with truth. See, truth is Jesus. Jesus is the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is Jesus. He cannot lie. The truth is all that we find in the Word of God, is the scriptures that we find in God's Word. And that's what we need to gird ourselves with. Do you know the Word of God has not changed and will not change? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth has never changed and will not change. Believers have changed. The church, if you will, has changed. Things have changed because we have not girded ourselves with truth. That means to ground ourselves, take the belt, fasten around us, and be secured in the truth of the Word of God. And what has happened in our world is believers have become weak. And they go into the battle not ready for the battle because they're not girded with truth. They have become wishy-washy. They have become hypocritical because they're not girded with truth in their lives. The Bible's truth, it teaches all we need to know about life and death, heaven and hell, God and Satan, sin and salvation. It reveals our condition before God. It reveals His solution to our problems. It reveals the way of salvation. It reveals the final destiny of the saints of God. It reveals the final destiny of the lost. It gives us all that we need. We have everything we need in God's Word. It's the truth. The truth is right there. And we need to gird ourselves in it. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I want us to look at this morning, how do we gird ourselves with the truth? Joshua chapter 1. And verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We need to first and foremost gird ourselves with truth. We understand what the truth is. We understand what we need to do. We understand we need to tighten up those things in our lives. How do we tighten up? How do we put on the truth? How do we walk in truth? How do we do those things? Joshua 1:8 gives us the key to be girded up in truth. This book of the law shall not depart. Now we understand Joshua had the first five books of the Bible. We have Genesis to Revelation this morning. We have the complete Word of God. They had the five books, but the book of the law, those teachings of God's Word, we understand if we're going to walk in truth, we must know this book. This book of the law shall not depart. Shall not depart. This should be our sole authority of faith and practice in our lives as believers. You see, if I'm going to be girded up in truth, this has to be the most important thing to my life. I tell you, we're living in a day and age where this is taken secondary to other books. This is taken secondary to man's interpretations and man's philosophies and man's way of doing things. This book ought to be our main source in our lives. If we're going to be girded up in truth, this ought to be the only thing that you based your life upon is the Word of God. Not the philosophy of man. Not the quickest way to grow this and build this and do that. This ought to be the most important book in your life. And every believer would say amen to that. Every believer would say, yes, preacher, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But let me tell you this, we're not girded up in truth because the book, God's Word, the law, the teachings of God's Word, we've departed from. We've departed. You see, we're not living this book. We're not loving this book. We're not applying this book. We need to read the book, study the book, apply the book in our lives. We need to live out the book in our lives. We get caught up in everything else, and this takes secondary in our lives. I believe if we would ask a show of hands, and I'm not going to, but I want you to examine your heart and life, there are probably many in this room that have not opened this book all last week. I tell you, we have departed from the book of law. We're not girded up. This idea of going into battle and fight, we're going in with the loose garments, ready for the enemy to grab everything they can get a hold of. Some of you don't fight fairly. You know the devil doesn't fight fairly either. But you know what happens when you and I fight sometimes, especially as we get older? We have to look for ways to win, right? We can't win like we used to with our great strength because we've gotten old and feeble. And we've gotten to that place that we don't have that strength. So what do? We look for places that someone is vulnerable in, and we go for that vulnerable area. Right? We find their weak place. I tell you, Brother Dick has some weak places. He's had some surgeries and he's had some issues and that. Do you know what I'm going to do if I ever have to fight Brother Dick? And I hope I never have to fight Brother Dick. I'm going to go for those weak places. I know where they are. I know every weak place there is. Run really fast. I know where those weak places are. I tell you, if I ever have to fight Brother Lewis, I'm going to find, and I know his weak places. And those that don't know, it's really obvious when he comes walking in where his weak places are. I know how to take him out real quick, and I can win. Brother Rich, I know your weak places. I've seen you out there. I've seen you out there. I've seen your weak places. Rick, I've seen your weak places. I've seen where you're weak. And Rex, you have too many to list. And I've seen all, and I know where to go. The idea is this. If we're not girded in truth, if we're not living the book, If we're departing from the Word of God, we have created weak places in our lives for the devil to come in and get victory instead of us having victory in our spiritual battle. He grabs a hold of those areas. He gets a hold of that in our lives. It says this, Joshua says, this book of the law should not depart from our mouth. This should be what we speak. This should be what we live. Depart out of thy mouth. This should be our focus of life. The Word of God. And what has happened, many believers are not focused. Then it says this, not just depart of thy mouth, and meditate. That means you chew it over and over and over again. It's the idea of what the cows do in their stomachs and all that, and they regurgitate it, they spit it up, and they eat it again, and they keep doing it, and that's what we need to continue to do with the Word of God. We understand as we're in this the battle that we're in, we need to gird ourselves with truth. We gird ourselves with truth because we understand that the resource that we have is the book of the law. We understand that it ought not to depart of our mouths. We reflect upon it day in and day out. Do you know there's many believers, one, that don't read the Word of God. Number two, they don't reflect upon God's Word. They don't reflect upon it. Do you know what we ought to do every time we hear the Word of God preached? Every time we have our personal devotions? Every time we do that? And we ought to be chewing it over all day long in our lives. It ought to be our meditation. It ought to be what we're focused on. Now, I tell you, there's a day that what has happened in our day today, many people are meditating on certain things because they have all this stress, all this pressure. And they'll come and they'll even do this little ooh-ah-ah, whatever type of things, and they would find this way and they would try to remove all the things that they're doing. They even do goat this, right, Rex? Rex has a goat farm and he's going to start this goat meditation. And they do all these things and they do all this to try to get and focus on certain things. And you know what? Where we need to focus? We need to meditate on the principles and teachings of God's Word, the truth. Every one of us need to read it. We need to reflect upon it. We ought to know the Word of God, so when we go into battle, we go into that, we're reflecting upon God's Word in our lives. It ought to be something we reflect upon. We meditate upon. Not just Sunday. You know what many believers do? We come to church. We hear the boring preacher preach. We hear a couple words that, oh, it's great, it's wonderful. And then we leave it in the seat in which we sat. And we never reflect upon it. We never meditate upon it. We never draw from the principles to change our lives. You see, girded in truth means we allow the Word of God to change us. We allow the Word of God to change us because that's the truth that binds us. That's what brings all the loose fitting clothing together. That's what puts us all together and we're able to go into battle so we don't have the vulnerable areas in our lives. Is we're girded in truth because we reflect upon the Word of God. Says, this book of law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know what we do? We ought to understand the resource. We ought to reflect. But we also ought to apply what it is. You know what we do? We hear what we're supposed to do, and we don't do it. It says, meditate on it. And observe to do all that is there. According to all that is there, do it. What is told to you to do it? How many of you were not the smartest kid in the world? And your parents told you to do something. And you knew what your parents told you to do. It was written right out in front of you. And you didn't do it. And you didn't do it. How many were like that? Reagan, get your hand up there. And we all been in that area. This is what he's saying. If you're going to be girded up in truth, you must understand your resource. You must reflect upon it. But you must observe it. You must do it. You must understand God has given you. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Get a hold of it and do it in your lives. That's what it means to be girded about in truth. Now, how many have met someone that's a little more on the airheaded side of life? You don't point fingers, Dave, at your wife. And you're a little more, you know, there's someone a little more, and they kind of just like, and you go, and you always say they have a hole, you know, that goes straight through everything type of. But you know what? We as believers are that way. Most individuals in this room, you've been in church a long time. You've been taught the principles of the Word of God. You've read the Word of God. You've studied the Word of God. Some of you taught the Word of God. You've done those things. And what do? A lot of times, we don't do what we know we're supposed to do. There is areas in our lives we all know what we're supposed to do. I've been using my weight and the loss of weight for illustrations because it's very practical to me. But do you know, even after using the tools and using the things, I could put the weight back on. I could put that back on if I don't do what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what I need to eat. I know what I'm supposed to have. I know what will make me feel like I'm going to die. I know certain things, and I'm supposed to be careful of it and not do it. But like anybody in this room, we always allow other influences to get a hold of us. And sometimes we start to do what we're not supposed to do. And there are times that the smell of certain foods, the presentation of certain foods and around you, that you sometimes go back to the old habits of taking and putting in your mouth before you even realize what you're putting in your mouth. Have you ever done that, Rich? And you put it in your mouth before you ever realize what you're going to do. And then this is what happens sometimes. You start chewing it before you realize what you're doing. And then sometimes while you're chewing it going, I shouldn't be doing this. I should probably spit this out before I swallow it. But what do we do sometimes? Even though we're chewing it, even though we know we shouldn't be doing it, we should spit it out. What do? We swallow it. And then we're really intelligent. We go for a second. And we put it in our mouth. And we're chewing and going, what am I doing? I know I shouldn't be doing this. This is all going in our heads. And we're thinking this. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. I better spit this out. But then we swallow it again. A second time. And some of you are really brain dead. You go a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. We know what God's word tells us. Rex is laughing because he's done that. We know what God's word tells us. We know. It's there. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We know how we're supposed to be living. We know what we're not supposed to be doing. That's what's girded in truth. But what we do is this. We don't listen, don't heed to the Word of God, to the truth of the Word of God. And because we don't heed to the truth of the Word of God, we're not girded about in truth. So then we go out into battle and we get defeated. We get defeated. Because we're not girded about with truth. We're not living the truth. We don't know the truth. We don't apply the truth. We're not living out the truth. We're not doing the truth in our lives. But I want you to look at the last part of this verse here. Joshua 1:8. For when thou shalt make thy way, observe all that written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You know what it's saying? if you do things God's way and you gird yourself up in truth, you're going to have good success. What is this good success is talking about? It's talking about victory, making your way prosperous. It means having a spirit-filled life that Ephesians was talking about leading all the way up to this point. Having that spirit-filled life, you're going to be walking the right way. You see, if you don't depart from the Word of God, you love the Word of God, you gird yourself up in truth, He's going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. You're going to have spiritual victory in your life. Spiritual victory. A lot of times we think good success has to do with some of these physical things and obtaining this and getting this and having this. The good success that he's talking about is that you're walking close to God and you have victory over the devil in your life. And God has given you the victory. Do you know what good success is in a prosperous way? It's not having everything the world says you need to have. You can have nothing and still have everything. Because I'm not to build up treasures here on this earth. I'm to build up treasures in heaven. Don't set your affections on things below. Set your affections on things above, Colossians 3 tells us. Set our affections on things above. We have to understand, in that battle we're facing, the success that God is going to give us is the victory he promises to give his children if they follow him. Do you know we have a promise already? That God has already promised to give you the victory. The Bible tells us, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Do you know God has always promised you victory as a believer? There is not one believer in this room that needs to face defeat. Because we have all the tools we need to have victory. And that first tool to have victory is being girded with our loins girded with truth. I'm glad we live in America. I understand America's not perfect. I understand America has its problems. But I'm glad still in America at this point, I can still have this. I can still read this. I can still live this. I can still meet in God's house. I don't have to face persecution for doing so. I don't have to hide this book. I have it right here with me. And most individuals have more than one copy of the Word of God. But as much freedom as we have to be able to have this book, believers are going into battle without being girded in truth. And they're facing defeat. I was reading some things this week. There was a statistic from 1960. And they went and they looked and talked to many individuals. They asked how many individuals read the Word of God throughout the week. Not every day, but most of the days. And the group that they did, it was about 85% of people read the Word of God. They asked how many of those people back in the 60s, how many of the people studied the Word of God, not just read. It was somewhere around 70, 75%. There was a recent poll, similar poll to ask how many people read the Word of God today. That is down to about 25%. How many people study the Word of God is down to 7 to 8%. And we wonder why we are weak in the war that we're facing. Because you remember when the devil tempted Jesus, what did Jesus use? He used Scripture. He quoted back from Deuteronomy. When you and I in battle, we need to know the truth, live the truth, apply the truth, and use God's truth to have victory in our lives. Thy word of God have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. One of the things I do with counseling and with helping people is I usually have them write a scripture on a 3x5 card or now on your smartphones. And you put it wherever, and you continue to take that verse, read that verse, and live that verse, because that will help you give victory. We need to know God's word so we have victory in life. Not just know it. Go back to Ephesians, and we're going to bring this all to a close this morning. Last week, those that were here, I played from Paul Harvey over the sound system, If I Were the Devil. We played that. It was about a three-minute thing. If you haven't heard that, Google it. It is just amazing. And when that was written and when he spoke that and how things are happening, we're in that battle. But Ephesians 6, let's just reread verse 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Believer, put on the whole armor of God. Put on truth. Live truth. Do truth in your life. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we know there's so much more that we can look at even with this simple thing of girding ourselves in truth. But God, I ask that you just take the simple thoughts that we've looked at this morning and speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as you stand with me if you're able to. No one looking about this morning. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is going to softly play. As the pianist is softly playing, and nothing new about the message this morning. You know, it's interesting. The Word of God, there's nothing new. It's there. But sometimes we need to be reminded of some of the simplest truths that we've been told from the beginning. I don't believe there's one of us in this room that doesn't know that we need, that the Word of God is true.